Hello, everybody. Welcome to Morning Prayers. My name is Mark. Been on community here for about 8 to 9 months now. As you can see, we'll be learning about the faith of the centurion. And I love this sort of imagery here of the centurion, sort of kneeling down in vulnerability before Jesus and his sort of soldiers lifting him up. So I begin with the liturgy. Say the words in bold in unison. In the morning, Lord, you bring peace to our minds. Our day we offer to you. We believe that you see and smile upon us. We believe that you hear and respond to us. We draw near to you, and we believe that you draw near to us. Now we know what love is. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Father, stir in us a desire to know you, to stand in awe and wonder, and to bow in devotion and humility. Our lives are not our own. Make us true to Christ, growing up in the faith, praying always in the Holy Spirit, abiding in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We will love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus, you said that the world would know us through the way we treated one another. You are teaching us to love as you have freely loved us. Let our lives display your loving kindness to all people, laying down your lies for your friends, taking the form of servants, forgiving as you have been forgiven, speaking the truth in love. We will love each other as you have first loved us. So in your chapel Bibles, I think it's page 972, chapter 8, verse 5 to 13. If not, hopefully you can see the text on the big screen here. So we begin reading this. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it was, would. And his servant was healed at that moment. I love the bit when the centurion says that he is a man, for I myself am a man under authority. I love that he recognizes that God has the ultimate authority, that he put his full trust that he could help the dire state of his servant who was in serious peril. I really like the sort of real sense of humility shown despite his position as a centurion. He was likely the man that was often in charge. He was likely a commander that was had a lot of experience and had a lot of battles underneath. He was often commanding probably lots of men. And even as a man who many depended on and looked up to, he didn't see himself in a prideful sense. Even though he's a man of authority, a man that commands his servants to do as he says, He's not prideful and arrogant. He does not hold his position in high regard. He recognizes that his authority pales in comparison to the authority of God. This sort of imposing figure, he does not see that his stature and authority in the face of God, he sees his stature and authority as quite insignificant, pointless. But instead, he humbly asks for God's saving grace on this man's life. If this were to be the other way around, if he were to be a man of hubris, a man that was boastful and used his authority in a loving way, perhaps Jesus would not have come to him in the first place. Maybe the centurion would have noted all his accolades and victories in battle, and then demanded Jesus to heal his servant. Perhaps he would be blinded by his own vanity. Maybe he wouldn't have shown the vulnerability to reach out to Jesus in the first place, as a man that was so often in charge. I love the bit where it says about that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. For I know that... that he came for many of the Jews there and preached to them, but they didn't fully trust him. Jesus preached to a lot of the Jews, and they were well versed on the Old Testament and knew all about it. But this centurion was a Gentile, and he likely had a pagan upbringing. The Jewish people that he was speaking to perhaps didn't understand his authority. But this Gentile, who probably wasn't very well read on the Old Testament, still trusted in God and understood that his authority, and came to him in his time of need. When thinking of authority, one of the things I recall is the loving and thoughtful use of authority when I first came here to Scargill. My colleagues and peers will know that my mental health hasn't been great, particularly the first few months I was here. Being put on a kitchen team, I was struggling quite mentally. I felt very slow and quite incapable of doing very simple things. Found it difficult to keep up at times. But the shift leaders and bosses who was there for me were incredibly gracious and only gave me the jobs that I would be capable of. They used their authority in a way that they did not elevate themselves above me or make me feel less or incapable. I was blessed, and despite my abysmal mental health, I was able to witness many glimpses of God's grace through these people. And that is what often kept me going, seeing these people embrace me with such a father's welcome, accepting me as I am. Another glimpse of good authority in Scargill I've seen is through Phil and Di, previously here, the directors. I was worried at first that the directors wouldn't appreciate sort of my work ethic and how unproductive I saw that I was. I thought I'd be crucified for missing a morning prayer or being late for my kitchen shift, simple things like that. But they understood when were kind and graceful to me, acknowledging when I was struggling, and concerning over me as my own father and mother would. They accepted me with all my flaws and failures. Just going to have a few prayer points just to think about here as we end. We pray for those in positions of high authority, in positions of governing authority, may they show grace to one another and give them the wisdom and discernment to make good decisions, loving ones. I pray, Lord, for vulnerability to reach out to God in hard times, just as this centurion did. That what we deem as important, our stature, position, job, title, accolades, would seem insignificant compared to knowing you. Pray that we can know the surpassing worth of Christ as Lord and Savior. more than all the other things that we hold in high regard, that we possess the courage to believe that you can do all things and help us in difficult times in our time of need. I pray, Lord, that we will have times where we will depend on you and showcase our faith. And I pray that, all these things. It's going to have a short time of silence just to ponder everything that was said and pray into everything before we finish with the liturgy. Loving Father, we thank you for this day. We pray that in every area of our lives, that we show authority. I pray that we can do so with a loving heart, a heart that sympathizes with the people around us, wherever we are and whatever job we have. I pray that we can be patient and gracious to one another. Not looking to be prideful and arrogant and command one another, but just to see another person as Christ and welcome them as such. We're going to finish with the liturgy now. It'll be on the paper, sadly not on the big screen, so we'll finish with that. Jesus, you said that the world would know us through the way we treated one another. You are teaching us to love as you have freely loved us. Let our lives display your loving kindness to all people. Oh, sorry, I just realized. Never mind. We'll do the closing prayer on the back, sorry. Grant, gentle Father, that your Spirit may give us the will and the courage to act to make a difference, in order to make real your kingdom among us, so that we may all live together in peace, truth, justice, and love, sharing the resources of the earth. Amen. You promised to be with us always, to the very end of the age. Beautiful Jesus, Lord, Savior, Master, Teacher, Redeemer, Restorer, King, we choose to follow you. Give us courage, God. We step out of our personal drama and into your story. The grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of the Father, and the friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. To the glory of God. Amen.